But he says in verse number 9, John 10, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. Now, I got to tell you, when you just think about that, probably you're like I am, a certain picture goes into your mind, okay? And so if you'll just bring up that next picture, maybe this is something you've seen before, all right? You ever seen that painting before? Okay, that's rather familiar. It was painted, the big one anyway, the other two we'll talk about in a moment. It was actually painted in 1941 by an artist from Chicago by the name of Warner Salmon. And he painted a number of pictures on religious themes. And that one, of course, is called Christ at Heart's Door. And it comes from the verse in Revelation 3:20 where it says, Behold, Jesus speaking, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. So it's a great invitation verse that Jesus wants to be knocking on our heart's door. And so I kind of picture a door something like that. Now, since I happen to be showing you the picture, there's two other pictures there, Jesus in Gethsemane and that picture of just the head of Christ. And interesting, back in the 40s, after the paintings were painted, they started making copies, lithographs, I think so they were called. And that one that you're looking at there, the Christ at the door, it was printed in 1940, and more than 500 million copies have been sold since then. So if you grew up in the South or in West Virginia, you've seen that on someone's wall, right? You've seen that. So it's interesting, too. There's a couple things he put in the painting. Notice the little window looking into the inside is dark, because he wanted to picture Jesus out there knocking, but inside is dark. There's no handle or doorknob on the door. It can only be opened from the inside. And even though it's sort of shielded, but the glow is sort of coming from Christ's heart. That's how the light is set up, saying his heart of love. So a lot of symbolism there. So anyway, that's how we typically think of a door, a big wooden door into a house, all right? But when Jesus says, I am the door, it is preceded by the verses that I now want to read in the beginning of chapter 10, where it says this, verse 1, Most assuredly I say to you, he who enters, who does not enter the sheepfold by the door. So there we have a first clue. This is not talking about a door in a house, okay? It's a sheepfold door. But climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber, and he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He's going to talk about that later in the chapter as well. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Here's the key. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. And there's a reason they don't understand, and that's the point really of all of chapter 10. Because there were those who responded to Christ, and there were those who should have been following him, especially the people who were the learned and the scholarly that studied the scriptures, the religious people of the day in Judaism. But they did not respond. And he's making a very important point, because those that follow him respond to his voice. They know him. And those who don't follow him have not really heard his voice or don't relate to it. So that's a theme that goes through this, if you will. Then verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, Most surely I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. So again, it's a different kind of door. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So, as much as I like that beautiful painting or a picture of a door, let me show you another painting, another picture, if you will. And I'll show you a picture of a shepherd. And that actually was taken in Nazareth, Jesus' hometown. And it's an interesting place where they have sort of recreated a little section on the hillside above Nazareth that they found, how Jesus talks about if anyone want to build a tower, you count the cost. Well, that was a tower they would use to watch over their sheep, like a guard tower. They found a foundation for one of them. They found an olive press. So they knew this was a place where that sort of thing was produced. And they've sort of recreated how it was in the first century. And in that particular area, they have this. Show the next picture, please, which is a sheepfold. What would we call that in West Virginia? A what? A pen, yeah, that's pretty much it. A sheep pen, would say a sheepfold. So it's just a place that the sheep could be contained. Now that's fairly small, and if you had a larger flock, you'd have a bigger pen. But that gives you an idea of it. Just to get them in and get them contained, especially at nighttime when there was predators around, or if there were thieves around, or if there's anyone who would do harm to the sheep, you would get them contained so they're there as well. Now, let me show you another picture of the same sheepfold. Notice the little gate there? There's no hinges on it. It's just kind of hung up there, and then ropes are wrapped around it to hold it into place, okay? So that is the door that Jesus was talking about, or something like that, okay? It's just a little gate to keep the sheep safe, keep them contained, and keep the predators at bay, all right? Now, there's something that picture does not depict, and this is important for understanding when Jesus is telling us, I am the door. I'm the door of the sheep. Okay, so take the wooden door picture out and substitute something like that. Oftentimes, whether there was a gate like that or not, the only way in and out was through that particular entrance or exit. And at nighttime, when it would be dark, and you understand there's not electric lights and all the things we would have, it would get really, really dark. And the sheep would get really, really nervous, especially if you hear a noise after dark and you can't identify where it's coming from. So what the shepherd oftentimes would do, he would lay down across that opening, and that's where he would sleep. In essence, literally, the shepherd became part of the door. If any sheep goes in or out, they're going to have to go past him. If any predator gets the sheep, they have to go through him. So when Jesus says, speaking in this terminology about the sheep and the sheepfold by the door, he's talking about, I am the one, like the shepherds you all know about, that they literally, physically, with their bodies, become the door to protect the sheep. And then he goes into this discussion about the voice, hearing their voice. And he says, verse 3, to the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. There's a recognition of the shepherd's voice. And then he says in verse 5, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. In other words, a shepherd would live up close and personal with the sheep. He'd be the door, the protector, always there. I can imagine this in the night, okay? So all the sheep are laying down, and they're giving little, I don't know what kind of sound sheep make when they sleep. I really don't know, but they're making sheep sleeping sounds. And suddenly there's some rustling out there, a predator. And suddenly the sheep get nervous, and they get a little riled up, and all the shepherd has to say, they can't see him, it's dark. All he has to say is, I'm here, relax, go to sleep. They hear the voice, they recognize that voice, and immediately they're calmed. And when it's time to go out into the pasture in the morning, maybe they're trying to catch up on their sleep, and they don't want to get out of their comfortable little bed on the ground. He says, come on, and off they go. They follow his voice. That comes from the fact that he says, I am with them, and they are with me. It's all about relationship. It's about interaction. It's about closeness. It's about intimacy of relationship. And he's basically saying, as he says, verse 2, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He later talks about verse 8, all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Now, I think he's probably particularly talking about those who came before him, purporting to be the Messiah, or claiming to be something that they were not, that maybe a great prophet or that sort of thing. Remember, Jesus says there's been many false Christs, there's going to be many more false Christs. This is not a new concept. He says, how do you know they were false? Because the sheep, the genuine sheep, the sheep of my pasture, did not respond to their voice because they're thieves and they're robbers. And he says now definitively in verse 9, I am the door of the sheep. So it's all about voice, and we'll talk about a few verses toward the end of this chapter, a little further in the chapter, about his voice a little bit later on. So I just want to share with you quickly some things that pictures for us. And one of the reasons he concludes this in the text of Scripture, yes, is to explain why some do not respond because they don't know his voice and why some do, but because he is this personal Savior to us. Yes, he's somebody that we read about in the text of Scripture, but he's also one that we talk to. We hear his voice. The Spirit of God lives within us. As Paul wrote in Galatians, he says, this is the hope of glory, which is Christ in you is the hope of glory. We have him with us. He said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We have this genuine, real interactive, personal relationship with Him. And that's something that we need to lean on. Number one, I'm going to give you five quick things tonight that are observations from this text. Number one, the door marks the beginning of safety. Because as the shepherd would lay across that door at nighttime, or would make sure the door was fastened and he's on guard if he's awake, that's inside that sheepfold, it's safe. It's a place of safety, a place of relaxation, a place of rest, to be in Christ and to be in that place of safety there, even in the dark, even when it's quiet, that sort of thing. So it's safe on the inside. Now, there is that moment when we go out, he says, verse 4, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. It's sort of like this. They're safe in that sheepfold because he's the door. But when they go out into the scary world, where they can get in trouble and they can get injured and there's predators around, the safety goes with them because the shepherd goes with them. Sometimes we feel like we have experiences in life where we've been kicked out of the sheepfold. Suddenly, like I'm now here. It's scary. It's dangerous. This is not what I bargained for. I feel all alone. The concept is simply this, that when Jesus says, I am the door, it's a way of saying, my protection goes wherever you go, because wherever you go, I'm going with you, and you're going with me. The zone of safety that is around us, the protection that is around us, the safety we have. And then there's the opposite, looking at the other way. The door marks the end of danger. It's danger outside of that, but it's safety on the inside. And there is danger out there. There is danger out there. That's the reason he talks about strangers in verse 5. He says, yet they by no means follow a stranger. It might be someone who calls them, might be someone who wants them to go with them, but they won't respond, but they flee from him. They have a natural aversion, a natural built-in fear for someone who is not the shepherd. And with that in mind, he says, they flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. I have not spent a great deal of time with sheep, but I've had a few experiences with sheep. So I'm not being an expert, but I've at least observed things. Several years ago, I had a little photography project I was working on, and so I knew some folks that had sheep in a farm, and I said, could I come out for a day and just, I want to hang out with the sheep and take sheep pictures? And I did, still have some of those photographs I took all those years ago, and it was in the spring, so you had, you know, had mama sheep and then little baby sheep running around, or not baby sheep, I have lambs running around with them. I did learn a few things. One of the things that was interesting, that oftentimes a sheep will have twins, and for some reason, I don't know if it's the supply of milk is insufficient or whatever, but she will allow one of those babies to nurse, and the other one she sort of pushes away. So sometimes in a flock of sheep, you might have sort of orphan sheep, even though the mother's not dead, but they have to be then hand-raised. And they had two of them at this flock of sheep, and it was interesting. It was time to feed them. So they had this big, you know, bottle of formula or milk or whatever it was. And as soon as they heard the voice of this lady who was taking care of them, and the bottles were produced, and they attacked them, just like. But it was interesting. That voice was something that they hadn't seen the milk yet. They hadn't seen the bottle. Maybe they knew it was, maybe their stomach was getting, you know, empty, whatever. But as soon as that voice was made, here they come. And they knew that because that connection was there. And that's designed to be safe. We should be so quick to respond to the voice of the Lord. And we talked this morning about the fact that we have this privilege of worship, of gathering together, regularly gathering together as the people of God. That's what we talked about this morning. And the fact that the Sabbath is called a holy convocation, a sacred assembly, because what makes it most sacred is we hear the voice of God as we open the Word of God together. And that's saying to us, safety in here where Christ is and wherever we are with Christ. Outside of that, it's danger. There are strangers out there. There are thieves. There are robbers out there. And we need to understand that. There's also something perhaps about discernment. The only discernment that these sheep seem to have in this context is they may know there's danger. They may flee from a strange voice. They may know it's danger. But they really have no natural defenses. Okay, they're not predators. They're lower down the food chain than that. The only thing they can do if they can outrun their predator, they might have a chance, but they really are, you know, pretty defenseless. So we have this reality that there's dangers out there, but the one thing they connect back to is the voice of the shepherd. You ever know this, ever think about this? There are dangers that we face in life that we don't even know that they're dangers in life. And we just need to listen to the voice of God as we go through life, because his voice will lead us away from that danger. Thirdly, the door marks the familiarity with the shepherd. That we just have this, we walk with him. There's an old song that, you know, it's been voted over, you know, decades, one of the most familiar and beloved hymns of the Christian faith. It's called In the Garden. And it pictures someone just walking in a garden and they're communing with God. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Kind of sounds like this passage, and the voice of God speaking to us, the reality of that. The picture that comes to my mind, if you've raised children, you probably had this, when, especially when they're small. You're sleeping comfortably in your bed, and you're just, you know, trying to get some rest after a long day of work and getting ready for a busy day tomorrow, and suddenly hear little footsteps coming down the hallway, open the door, and they run up to the bed, and they've had a bad dream. What do they need to hear? They need to hear the voice of mom or dad saying it's okay. Then the next thing you hear is what? Can I get in bed with you? And here they come piling in. It's all good. You know, they just naturally gravitate to that person that's their protector, their caregiver. When we get scared, when we face things in life, we just have to, just have that familiarity with his voice, so we just run to him. And that's why we do what we do. That's why you guys do what you do in distributing the scriptures, to get the voice of God into people's hands so that they can come to Christ and also to grow in him. That's why we come to this church. That's why we have those groups that you were talking about, and God willing, give us even some more opportunities to do that. Or our personal devotional time and all the other things that we do just to help to get the word of God into your lives and hearts. One of the things that we've done for you the last 2 years is, any family in church, I hope you're taking advantage of this. We're providing a free subscription to Right Now Media, which is sort of a Christian streaming series. You talk about a lot of good Bible study material. It's available to you. You can get it on your phone, your iPad, your computer, whatever. And did I say that it's free? Okay, it's free. It's free to you. And if you want to know how to sign up for that, just let one of us know, and we can get you the link, and away you go. But just so you can, just the regular practice of hearing his voice. We need to practice listening. And also, there's a reality, too. You can only hear so far, right? One of the things that I have discovered in our home, what I could used to hear from about three rooms over when my wife would say something, it's reduced to about two rooms over and then one room over, and now I got to get into the room she is to be able to hear when we're saying something. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. And it's not that her voice is decreasing. I think it's, you know, the effects of age. But you have to be within range to hear, right? What pushes you out of range from hearing? With our Lord, it's sin in our lives. That's what pushes it out of range. When we are in willful disobedience, we have unconfessed sin in our life, when we are just walking the wrong way, when we are like the sheep, go back to Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have done what? Gone astray, turned everyone to his own way. Not one of us, no matter if you've lived and walked with the Lord for decades, not one of us is above that potential. So if we want to make sure we stay within range of the Savior's voice, the shepherd's voice, we need to just be quick to confess our sins. And don't ever deny that we're not still struggling with sin. The Apostle John clears that up. Anyone says he has no sin, he's a liar and the truth isn't in him. Right? And not only that, we make God a liar because God says we're still struggling with this. So to stay close enough to hear. And then fourthly, the door marks the line of belief. It marks the line of belief. I'm glad that you quoted that earlier, because I was going to quote it right now, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That line of belief is marked by hearing his voice. It's what takes us across that threshold, what brings us into safety. And I love how Jesus says this in verse 9. This is why it makes it special. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He is the door. By the way, notice the door is always singular. The way is singular. Entering is singular. The person of the door, the person of the entry is singular. There is one way to heaven. That's the way it is. Rather complain about it, people should just say, thank you, Lord, that you have made a way. And it's the perfect way. And it's through Christ and Christ alone. You understand that there's, as we see in scriptures, there's none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. There's no plan B. There's no alternative. But thankfully, he is that way. And we have to come to believe that, and we have come to believe that. And one of the things that he gets into further into the story, and I'm saving some for you, is some of this conflict back and forth. And Jesus is simply saying, you don't know me because you haven't heard my voice. You haven't opened your heart to listen to me. You don't have ears of hearing because you think you have it all figured out. And then lastly, the door marks the promise of eternal life. I want you to go down because he picks this up again. We're going to pick it up in verse 26. I just want to read three or four verses here in this section where he kind of concludes this. But you do not believe because you're not of my sheep, as I said to you. We don't believe you. Why should we believe you? And there's all this back and forth you see all through the Gospels. I was sharing on Friday night from chapter 6 of John where they basically said, we know your mother and father. Who do you think you are? And he also then says, Abraham delighted to see my day. And they thought, well, you're not even 50 years old. Were you around before Abraham was? And just round and round and round it goes. And he says here definitively, you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. But here's that voice again. Here's this reaction. And it's this promise of eternal life wrapped up in this discussion. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's an important distinction, by the way. Not only do we recognize the voice of the Savior, but the Savior recognizes his sheep. And apparently this is true. I've read this. I've not personally researched this, but shepherds get so good being with the sheep, they can call them out, and even if there's a bunch of combined flocks in a particular field, he can call them out, and they will usually follow his voice. But even looking, he can tell which ones are his. He's gotten so, all sheep look alike to me, but apparently shepherds can pick them out. And that's what Jesus is saying in this verse. He says, I know them and they follow me. And here's the gift that comes through the door. Here's the gift that comes through the Savior. Here's the gift that comes from the great shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give them eternal life. Now, if the verse stopped there, that's more than enough to bless us and encourage us and strengthen us and assure us. But he doesn't stop there. Look what he says. I just want you to listen to how much the Savior just piles up the significance and the permanence and the security and the comfort of this relationship that we indeed have with him. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. You get the picture? I give them eternal life. They're not going to perish. They're safe in my hand. And the Father, who is greater than all, we're in his hand. And no one's going to be able to pry the hands of God off of his grip of grace that he has upon his own children. Security, strength, comfort, reassurance, rest for us in those words. And then he says one more thing. If Jesus were not the Savior of the world, not God in the flesh, it would just sound like he always says one thing too much. Except with him, it's all true. And he is pushing them beyond the limit. Because he simply said, if he just stopped there, it would have been a little controversial. But he says, I and my Father are one. Look at the next verse. And the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Because they were riled by that. Because they recognized what some people who sometimes claim to be Bible scholars miss, that Jesus is overtly, directly, without any equivocation, he is claiming to be equal with God because he indeed is. He's certainly claimed and expressed that divinity, and they responded that way. So what do? We make sure that we understand that it's his voice we listen to, that we make sure that we are close enough to hear his voice by confessing our sins, that we, in every way that we can, surround ourselves with the message of God's Word, and as we do, we learn the comfort and the familiarity of His voice so that we are more prone to follow and less prone to wander, that we rest in the assurance and the comfort that He saves all who enter into his fold through faith and have responded to his voice. And no one can snatch them out of his hand, not even Satan himself, or snatch them out of the Father's hand, because he and the Father are one. There's many people in our world, when we leave this place, as you said earlier there, Will, about we leave this place in entering the mission field. It also means when we go in the mission field, we step into enemy territory, so to speak. And there are people out there that probably would just like to take up some stones and hurl them in our way because of what we believe. But what we believe is the truth because we've listened to his voice. And here's where we go. We need to understand that he is the door. He's that one that's right there with the sheep. In the scary moments of the night, make sure you hear his voice. In those moments when we're out and there's dangers around, we trust in him. So we give him our trust. And lastly, we give him our thanks. When Jesus said, I am the door, it's a wonderful way of him saying, I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm going to take care of you. I've taken upon myself the responsibility to get you through this season of life, to get you through this day, to get you through this night, and to get you throughout all the days of eternity. Because indeed, you're mine. Hope that encourages you tonight.